Welcome to Agora, your space for international exchange and conversations on freedom and democracy.
Hey everyone, my name is Killian, and I'm going to be your host for this podcast. I am joined by my dear teammate Tine, and together we would like to provide some insight into the situation of fake news and alternative facts in Finland. So today we're going to interview Mr. Jokka Träsbäck, who has worked in the media industry since 1993. He has been a journalist for the Finnish broadcasting companies YLE and MTV3. Several radio channels and magazines. In 2000, he founded the website Stara, which became one of the largest online media platforms in all of Finland. Träsbäck is also a publisher and entrepreneur, involved in several smaller media companies and startups. A few days before the interview took place, we already sent him a couple of basic questions on the Finnish media landscape. In his reply, one keyword that he really emphasized is media literacy. All right, let's dive right into it. I find one phrase that you use a lot very interesting, and that is media literacy.
Yes.
You're talking a lot about media literacy, and that's something I hear very often, that people say we need more media literacy. People have to learn how to use, or maybe relearn how to use media. And I think everyone agrees that it is important. But what exactly do you mean by media literacy? I think this is a term that's often used just as a catchphrase, but no one really knows what it means.
Yeah. It means that everybody, especially kids and young people, they need to be taught how to read medias, that there is no media that you can rely on in every facts, and there's no media without any intentions to tell you how to think about the world outside. And every media has some kind of agenda, and every journalist have some kind of agenda. Well, then they are with words and pictures and texts, words, they are trying to tell you what to think, and you need to see behind that. In Finland, we have a lot of established, well-known medias that are journalistic work. They are doing a great job, but even there is a few articles from time to time that are not kind of as neutral that it need to be. I think that's a media literacy, that you cannot believe everything you read or hear or see on television.
You've been into the media business for quite a long time, so is it really that different from the past? Because this must have been the case ever since.
Yeah, actually when you're talking about Finland and the media, you need to go to the Cold War era. We had something called Finlandization in politics and the public media back in 70s and 80s. It was a process in which the Soviet Union made Finland comply with the former rules of foreign policy, even though Finland was already an independent state, of course. This was reflected also in the media as for example, the state media YLE, Yleisradio, even published a false weekly content admiring the Soviet Union and praising the finest of Soviet Union as a country, as society, but did not report any grievances in Soviet Union. During years, I think it was like 78, from 78 to 85, something like that, there was a systematic propaganda, and that has even an own program called Näin naapurissa, this is our neighbor, running in the Finnish national television. And that era of false information is still in year 2021, and last year 2020 issue in even in our parliament in Finland, because of course it happens on our national television with our taxpayers' money. This is a pretty strong problem still in Finland, because the Cold War era was a kind of a time of false journalism in Finland, and I think when this organized disinformation was finally revealed, and it led, in my opinion, to greater awareness among citizens that even established media can publish ideologically colored false information. Therefore, it gave a rise to reservations about the content of all medias, including the well-known and like acute medias. I think that's the reason.
Would you say that the traditional Finnish media landscape or the great publishing houses are in decline?
No, I don't actually. I cannot say that. There's a lot of alternative media outlets nowadays, and we didn't have those like 10 years ago. This is pretty new. The landscape with this traditional media has not gone like more worst way, because there's a lot of people who are believing those alternative medias, and there's conspiracies and things like that. And I think that the traditional media is digging its way kind of down because of the articles that are false. Still, there is some, and it's not a good thing the media is in Finland at the moment, but it's I think there's a light in the end of the tunnel here, because the medias are they know the situation at the moment. I think, I hope they know, and there's a way to get the things better, because this phenomenon can also be seen in Finland at the moment, where journalists consider that it's their task to tell people what they should think, and it's the editor-in-chiefs have now an important role to play in trying to keep their media outlets material neutral. And that's the actual work they need to do right now.
So I think that's something we hear a lot, even here in Germany, that the media is becoming more and more politicized, I would say. Yeah. And how far do you think that the media companies themselves it's their own fault that they joined this battle, let's call it that, and not staying neutral? And who pushed them to get there? That's something it's hard for me to understand.
Yeah, I cannot tell about the situation in Germany, but in Finland, the journalists themselves, because according to survey by Journalist magazine, two-thirds of the respondents would like the journalist party, political party, to be investigated. Helsingin Sanomat and YLE Yleisradio, which are the two biggest media houses in Finland, stated that they did not want to find out the political parties of their journalists. However, there was this Media Week magazine that recently pulled out that half of the media journalists are left wing. In 2019, there was this municipal sector development foundation, it's called KAKS in Finnish, found out that the left and the greens together get the most support among journalists. And this emphasis is strongly reflected in the Finnish media at the moment, although the media should be neutral in their communication, of course. Journalists support their own world of thoughts with word choices, as I told you earlier, image choices, titles, captions, etc. This is possible even without strong emphasis in the actual textual content. And as I told, now editor-in-chiefs have a big, important role to keep the material neutral, even though the journalists are left or greens.
I think this even is a question maybe of journalism as a craft, per se, because with you having seen the media landscape for a long time, would you say that the craft of journalism has changed, how it's taught, how it's how it's done in everyday lives inside the publishing houses? It's weird because it seems to be a new question that came up a couple of years ago. And for me, journalism in the first place has always been reporting what is and not teaching what, or even moralistic teaching what people should think. I mean, there is always a part of journalism that is interpretation, and it's legitimate, I think. But sometimes it's not clearly visible where one becomes the other. How would you describe the change that you've noticed over time? Because very often the people are the same. The journalists who've been journalists 15 years ago are the same as today, many of them.
Yeah, there is this cultural change during like 10 years that back in the days, journalists did the journalism, like they told us what the facts were. That's their job, actually, to be neutral. But now they're the same journalists, and of course the younger generation of journalists, they consider that it's their task to tell people what to think about the facts they just published. So that's the thing I really would not like to see in Finnish media, because it's not neutral anymore to read in a magazine and, let's say, Wiley, the Finnish national television, what to think. And this is clearly visible, especially in the material television programs and web series and stuff to kids and young people. Like we have this Wiley kiosk program and a kind of channel in the social media that young journalists are telling kids what to think about the environment. They're like giving their own thoughts to the kids and telling that this is the right way to think. And it's not the way that the journalists are getting the telling the facts, and the kids and the young people can decide themselves what to think about the situation. And that's very, very concerning, I think.
Which might take us back to media literacy again. Would you say that the media tries to get or gets closer to politics and parties, or are parties and politics trying to get closer to media?
Actually, that's good question, because there is this Finnish Green Party, and they decided to to close their own magazine, Vihreä Lanka. They're not using almost every party in Finland, political party in Finland. They have their own media in the paper, internet, whatever. They have their own media, but the Green Party decided to let go their own Vihreä Lanka media. It was a newspaper kind of thing. And people were laughing at the time, but that they did not need that anymore, because there is Helsingin Sanomat, which is the biggest newspaper in Finland, because it's so green and so leftist, Helsingin Sanomat, that Greens did not need to have their own media anymore. And that's the situation in Finland at the moment, every day.
But would you say this is a majority opinion? Because in the end, all of media, all journalists might be just a mirror of their society they live in?
As you earlier asked me about the are the political parties and media like getting together closer? And there's several media outlets, of course, still that are neutral, like the two biggest daily papers. They're not newspapers, kind of Ilta-Sanomat and Iltalehti, which they both are pretty neutral still. But there's a few Helsingin Sanomat and Wiley that they're not so neutral anymore, I think, that they used to be, and that's concerning us and many others.
When I understood you right, there's a change in traditional media, which were neutral, to getting more political. When you're telling about the journalists, they are pushing information to the people. What is about the thing to receive the media? So how do you in Finland teach your pupils to get in touch with media? How do you teach them how to read that and to connect it with other information?
You mean in schools?
For example.
Yeah. I don't work at school, so I really do not know the exact way they're doing, but I know a lot of teachers who are telling this and school pupils, and they are really just telling them that there is a lot of different ways to gather the media, that kids they cannot rely on one media. They should read a lot of different medias and make their own opinions about that from wider range of different medias, because then you can see the different kind of views. Let's say like Al Hall, terrorist moms or whatever, which is like now the hot topic in Finland. When you're reading the same story about the same issue, like let's say like five different medias, then you can rely that, okay, this is the material I need to focus, and I can make my own opinion with this in a matter, with this wider range of media outlets and wider range, of course, of journalists who are writing about this issue. And of course, social media is in Finland also, I think in Germany, the situation is pretty almost the same, that there's these bubbles, because people, when they are liking, let's say like your right wing, left wing, whatever, when you're like several same kind of articles every day, let's say Facebook and Twitter, it gathers like a media bubble around you, and after that you only receive the kind of information that supports your own bubble, and that's concerning. And I think in schools they need, I hope they do that already, but in schools they need to tell the kids and the young people about this risk about getting in your own information bubble, because there is several of those in Finland, and I noticed it myself. I have been there as well, but when as a journalist I read a lot of different kinds of media from different kinds of political views. And after that, I noticed that, let's say, Twitter is giving me mostly the information I have already been liking, and it's making a kind of a media barrier around me. But at the time, 2021, journalism becomes even more important, as those fake news, as you told. And the false medias have begun to became more common, and are meant to influence people's opinions and behavior. Let's say, especially those alternative medias that are sometimes they do not have anything in common with the real journalism. False medias were still quite harmless in 10 years ago, but now they have aimed at gaining political and economic gain in recent 2 years, 3 years, I think.
Why do you think that is a bad thing when the media is going more to the lefties? Why do you think it's a bad thing? What is the bad things can happen for that?
When the media is going leftism or right, whatever, it's not journalism anymore. It's telling the facts via like media reading goggles, you know. It's media should be totally neutral and giving only the facts. And when it's not doing that, it's not journalism. It's only a attempt to affect people's behavior and people's minds. And in Finland, the situation in Finland is not as bad as it might sound now when I'm talking to you. It's pretty good, but anyway, it's concerning, because the way it's going, we need to stop that, and you know, before it gets worse. And if it's leftism, rightism, it's as bad as it can get.
Yeah. So an influence in behavior is always a limiting of freedom, isn't it?
Yes. Exactly.
I was wondering, talking about this, that you say it should be completely neutral. I guess you mean completely neutral when they say this is the reporting part and this is the opinion part, because yes. No one likes to read anything that's without opinion at all. That's just, I think, not human. But it should be made clear, this is where the reporting ends and this is different opinions on the same topic.
Of course, yeah, that's true, because every time when there is someone to interview, that's opinions, of course, but that's the media literacy of as well, to understand that when people are interviewing, when journalists are interviewing someone, that who is going to be interviewed, that's a bit of facts and a lot of opinions. And that's, of course, that's a good thing, but people need to understand and how they can separate facts and opinions. And those are mixing too much at the moment. Good point, mm-hmm. John.
Like you said, the information filtered bubbles, we do have them a lot in Germany and in German social media too. So it's the confirmation bias that we see, people confirming their own opinion again and again.
Exactly.
And it's very hard to get out, especially if you try to communicate between the bubbles. It's nearly impossible. That's what I thought. Do you think that if these bubbles pop up and come into existence, I always have the impression people in there, they want to force every opinion and everyone into one of these categories, into one of these bubbles. You have to fit in one of these bubbles to be a valid opinion in any sense. And sometimes I have the feeling that the traditional newspapers, publishing houses, media, they, instead of telling people, no, these bubbles are harmful for discussion, they jump into these bubbles too. Like, oh, are we left or are we right? Are we liberal or are we conservative? And they use these bubbles, even though it puts themselves into danger, I think.
Yeah, I think the situation is the same in Finland as well. Yeah, seems familiar.
We were talking about age groups a couple of minutes ago. Sometimes when I'm very depressed about all this, I realize, because I'm an educator and I do work with young people, I sometimes think that young people, like digital natives, it's us talking about, oh, is this traditional newspaper still a reliable source of information? And those kids are like, we don't care about your newspaper. We don't read it anyways. Yeah. We get our information somewhere else. So, how far is the age group very important? Talking about education, media literacy, is the problem just going to vanish with a new generation and it's just us old guys thinking about these problems?
You're probably right, because I have an 8-year-old boy, and he actually doesn't read newspapers. He has like that age group on, let's say, like 20 years old. They use Snapchat, TikTok, whatever. Facebook is going down with them as well, and Instagram is cool, and the stories. They do not use newspapers anymore at all. Maybe they sometimes they are like suddenly stumping into like some bigger newspapers website or whatever. But yeah, you're right. The problem might vanish, but there is still, I mean, the YLE, which is a Finnish national media company, they have this kioski program and groups and the pages that are aimed to this young generation. And there is this bubble information in there as well, even more than in newspapers. So we still need to be concerned about this issue, even though that traditional media is not interesting with these younger generations.
For example, let's say there's a younger person and an older person, and they go to a website or a YouTube channel, something that's for us, as I would still call us younger people, it's totally obvious that this is a weird page. This is just a weird bubble and strange information. Older people, I think, tend to not realize that in a way that younger people do. And sometimes I talk to, let's say, 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, mm-hmm. and they're like, they would look at this and be like, of course this is fake. This is just a ridiculous website, you know, and look at the layout and everything and how they write. Maybe it's the difference that they are used to this ocean of information because they've never known anything else.
Yes.
And they are used to filtering.
Anyway, they are better about filtering than we were when we were young. Because I remember that I was like 15 years old, 10 years old, reading newspapers. I believed anything in the newspapers. And that now I look at myself, younger version of me, and I was so naive to believe anything in the newspapers. But now I think you're exactly right. The situation is like that, and they are like media and social media natives. So they can read with their native media reading glasses on. But still, schools need to tell kids how to read medias.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting point, because if we think that schools are there to educate people on the use of media, and at the same time we think that there might be a concerning approach of media and the state, politics, mm-hmm. and government, I'm not sure if schools are the right place to teach people how to be skeptics, if the schools are basically governed by politics, as always.
Yeah.
So it would be politics teaching people not to believe what politics says. You know what I mean? It's a strange combination.
Kind of paradox.
Yeah, it is. So it's the state telling you not to trust itself.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's really important question. Who is responsible?
Who has to teach? And who? Because there is no neutral. There should be, school should be somehow neutral. That's what we all think. And you can only hope that this is mostly the case, because this is still a democracy and it's a free country. But it's hard to imagine how this could work in a while, like a long term. I would have one more question. Maybe one short comment on, you said that alternative media are on the rise.
Yes, in Finland, yes.
And same here. And no matter, sometimes they're governed from abroad, different governments or whatever. Sometimes they're from the country they publish in themselves. In the end, I think it's a business model. Like, fake news is a business.
It is.
And it's about money and about a lot of money and influence. And is there any comment on the situation in Finland?
You mean the financial part?
The financial part, that people who spread fake news, very often they know how the algorithms of YouTube work. They know how social media works. It's a business model. They just use, and in the end, they might not actually care about the politicized information. They might not actually care about anything political. They just use it as a tool.
Yes. Yeah, it's the same situation in Finland as well. There was this one like the biggest alternative media, MB-lehti, in internet. And it grew very big, and finally it got trials as well about different kinds of crimes that were happening in their site. Like, they were publishing like people's names and pictures without permission and stuff. And I agree with you. There was a lot of viewers, a lot of readers in that internet media, and there was of course a lot of commercials as well. And it needed to make a lot of money for the publisher. And I don't actually even know, and I think no one knows, if there was some political, like a target with that media. But it's clear that they made a lot of money with that, because it was very big and very successful. And nowadays, I don't even know if it's gone already, but there was several trials and stuff. But yeah, I agree with you. Money is a motive for that as well.
Tina, you got any question right now?
Maybe for the end, Jukka, first of all, thank you very much for that interview. You know the media landscape of Finland very, very well. And from your personal opinion, what do you think the Finnish people may, what they do a little bit better in that kind of media? What are your good practices? What are your best practices you can share with us?
In Finland?
Yes.
Ooh, tough question. I don't know exactly about the situation in other countries, but in Finland, maybe Finns are pretty skeptical already, or they have those kind of media reading glasses on from birth or something like that, because it's not easy to spread fake news in Finland nowadays, and I think it has never been that, except that era with the Finlandization back in the days in 70s and 80s. But maybe we are kind of a skeptical nation. I don't know. I hope that.
Coming over difficult situations in the history makes you a little bit more skeptical that you're dealing the new problems rising up now very well. So that it's a point that it's not an easy thing to convince Finnish people.
I think that's the case, and we have a lot of kind of a fact checkers. Let's say in Twitter, there's a lot of people, and when some media is publishing something that are not correct, it's corrected in social media in a matter of minutes. So maybe that's one factor as well.
Okay, and that fact checkers, are there voluntarily doing that?
Or? No, they're just regular users. When, let's say, like Helsingin Sanomat is publishing something that is not correct, let's say in alcohol consuming issues, which are like one of the interesting topics in Finland, there's just in a matter of minutes that someone is telling that this is not right, this is not the issue at the moment. But if people are only reading the one magazine and no social medias and not other magazines, then it's a problem. But I think nowadays people know how to use traditional medias, that they are consuming different kinds of medias from different platforms and social medias and stuff. So I do not see that as a big problem, the fake news thing in Finland, at least anymore. It's it's going the better way at the moment.
So thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and maybe we'll be back.
Let's do that.
Would be a pleasure.
Thank you very much for this.
Have a great day, Jukka.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.